Okay, and we are back. And Liz, you are up.
Sounds good. So I'm going to segue us into the urban-rural growth split. So this chart here on the screen, the bottom is the growth target in the countywide planning policies. So ultimately, by policy, urban growth is anticipated to be 76% and 24% for growth in rural areas. During our evaluation period, population growth, 71% of that was located in urban areas, and 29% was located in the rural areas. So not quite at that countywide planning policy quite yet. But switching to the next part here, this shows a comparison over time for past buildable lands reports. And you'll see that it illustrates we've shown consistent progress towards meeting that countywide planning policy target of 76%. So overall population growth as measured in this evaluation period does show that steady increase in towards urban areas over time from 43% between 1995 and 1999 up to 71% between this current evaluation period. So it's shifted dramatically over the course of and life of the Growth Management Act here in Kitsap County. So any questions on the urban-rural split? Okay. All right, so shifting gears into employment growth. So the following data is provided by the Puget Sound Regional Council. So it's important to note that these figures do not include military jobs, which definitely has an impact on the totals that you're seeing here as it relates to locations that are close to any of our naval installations here in the county. And so the total number of jobs within the county as a whole is anticipated to increase by 46,158 jobs between 2010 and 2036 to approximately 126,225 jobs. So an average annual growth rate of 1,944 new jobs are needed to achieve the 2036 target. And from 2013 to 2019, employment in Kitsap County grew from an estimated 79,315 jobs to 90,711. So it's approximately 1,899 jobs per year. So overall employment growth in Kitsap County tracked closely to our countywide planning targets. So just kind of going into then the employment growth, urban-rural split here. Again, employment growth was attributed to both urban and rural areas. The CPP target, which is on the top in this chart, anticipated 92% urban and 8% residential split. While the actual employment estimate reflects 86% growth in urban areas and 14% in rural. This is close to findings in previous buildable lands reports, which indicated 91.6% of employment growth was in urban areas as of our last buildable lands report. So like the other chart for population, this here breaks down all of the different jurisdictions, including the cities and the unincorporated urban growth areas. The dark gray rows are where you see the roll up of those city and unincorporated urban growth area totals. I'll note here the City of Bainbridge Island, City of Polesbo, City of Port Orchard, and the Port Orchard UGA all grew at an average annual rate above their targets during this period. Bainbridge Island's employment grew, growth was more than twice their target rate. And the City of Bremerton and all remaining UGAs, however, grew at an average rate that was slightly slower than their employment targets. I will note for the Silverdale urban growth area, it saw about 24% of the target rate during the evaluation period, but it also had the highest growth target among the unincorporated urban growth areas. And this is expected to change with the relocation of the multi-county regional health center in Silverdale, which was completed in 2020. So that particular facility isn't captured as part of these totals here. So any questions?
Real quickly, we don't count the military, but the military facilities have civilians and contract civilians. Do we capture any of that employment?
Unfortunately, no. So any jobs that are located on military installations are not included in PSRC's totals. And it is unfortunately just a limitation in the data that is available and does have some implications here for Kitsap County with the high concentration of our military installations across the county.
Right. Okay, Commissioner Smith.
So the elephant in the room is 2020, where most work became remote work. How does that factor in? It's just a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll certainly, time will tell on that front with what happens with future employment growth targets and what that means for reporting as well. So we've definitely, it's on our radar, but it's not within this particular evaluation period. It's also uncertain whether or not those jobs would show up or any changes would show up in 2020 or if they would slide into the following year as well. So again, like other buildable lands jurisdictions, we're certainly aware and keeping track of it, but taking a more wait and see approach as part of the future monitoring of this program.
Okay. Commissioner Beam.
Where do you rate Lambrides? Because I would think there would be more growth in the Lambrides than there would be in the rural. Are they counted as rural or are they counted as urban?
So anything that is outside of the urban growth area boundaries would be included within the rural numbers, is my understanding.
That may be throwing off your numbers also then.
Potentially with some of the employment centers in the rural area. But again, this is the best available data that we have to take a look at this particular question.
I think for Lambrides, limited areas of more intense rural development and the purpose of the different types authorized in GMA, again, most of those are sized like UGAs. So they're not considered UGAs or urban areas, nor are they considered rural. They're kind of the in-betweenies that were communities or employment sectors that were established prior to GMA becoming enacted in the 90s. So when it comes to our CPPs, which is one of the checks that we have to review as part of the Bilbo Lands program, the Lambrides don't get specific growth allocations for population employment. They're captured in the overall rural share. And going back to Commissioner Smith's comments about what does kind of COVID play a role in kind of employment growth over time. So a lot of the employment estimates are captured by industry sectors. So whether that's construction or resources or retail or just general services in nature or government education, which is a significant employment sector in many of our communities here in Kitsap County, we are seeing some differentials. And again, I could post what's available on PSRC, what they've captured regionally for 2020 last year, but again, outside of our evaluation period for this report.
All right, any other questions on the employment? So with that, I'm going to switch over to kind of project timeline and next steps moving forward. So as we've shared with the Planning Commission, we have transmitted a preliminary draft report to the Department of Commerce, and we are continuing to work with the local cities to finalize that draft report and are preparing for a release of that publicly in August. And following that, we do anticipate a public comment period and wrapping up the final report by the end of September. So again, just to kind of reiterate those next steps, in July, our focus has primarily been on wrapping up and finalizing that draft report for public release. We are slated to roll that out in August and anticipate a 30-day public comment period associated with that. As we mentioned at the last briefing, this isn't like your typical legislative process where there will be public hearings associated with this report out, but we do want to provide the opportunity for the public to comment prior to the county finalizing these findings and submitting it to the Board of County Commissioners for their review. So that is our near-term next steps. Any questions at all from the commission? Otherwise, that does conclude my presentation for this evening.
All quiet. Okay. Thank you for that presentation, Liz.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, next on our agenda is the second general public comment period. I don't see any attendees other than, so once, twice, okay. We will close the second period because there's no one wanting to speak to us. All right. Item I, for the good of the order and commissioner comments. And that. All right, I will start out with, we've sent a poll, the staff has sent a poll out to figure out when the joint planning commission and the Board of County Commissioner meeting will be. There's two dates in August right now. And once we get the results of that, and we will have, I believe we're looking at a 45-minute slot in the commissioner's agenda and that. We also would, we do have the annual report that was put together. I know Commissioner Eliason would like us to kind of go over and see if there's any other topics or issues that we would like to discuss with the county commissioners and that. So, you know, this is the time that we can kind of bat some ideas around in that. It looks like we will have about three weeks before we'll be doing the meeting at the earliest. And that, any thoughts, comments on this? Silence. Okay. Well, and it is, if you do think of something and you want to shoot an email on the official email account over to make suggestions, that's quite welcome. It wouldn't violate an open meeting rule if you were to send an email making a suggestion, because we would just read it at the next meeting. And then, Commissioner Smith.
So what's the normal agenda, like the standard agenda for these annual meetings with the Board of County Commissioners?
Okay.
Like what topics are covered?
Well, it's generally the, we have our report, you know, showing what we considered, what we acted on, and our recommendations. Usually if there's a very hot topic, you know, that we've gone over, that tends to come up. And that the commissioners seem to be well aware of what's going on within the Planning Commission. It's a chance for them to let you know how they feel about how things are going in that. I don't think we've ever had a, what would you call it, a dress down from the county commissioners. They seem to be fairly pleased with what we've been doing, but never know. So, in that. So, with no ideas, and it, you know, I will say it turns into kind of a on the fly meeting most of the time. So, I don't think they corner anybody, but they do ask questions now and then. Do we have anything for the good of the order? And that? No? Okay.
Just add though that there is a specific agenda that's submitted. It's a formal agenda that's submitted to the commissioners. It's a conversation with the Board of County Commissioners and the Planning Commission. It's their opportunity to sit down and talk with you. You know, thank you for your service. You go through the report and they look at all that's been accomplished over the time, but it is a formal agenda item that's submitted to them. So it's, you know, it's not a sit down and free for all have coffee, but you know, it's a conversational tone.
Right.
But it is an agenda item. So.
Right.
Will it be in person?
We're all kind of still in limbo. I mean, we wish we had, we really do wish we had some firm, you know, we still don't know. We've met with the clerk.
That at least should be a topic of discussion. We prefer in-person meetings.
We discuss it a lot. We discuss with the clerk. I mean, I've talked about it twice this week and it's only what, Tuesday. So I talked about it last week too with the clerk and upstairs. So it's, I'm sure it will come up. They'll probably brief you on it and they would like to get back to it too. So, I mean, it's not the only one.
Okay, thanks for getting that information out to us, Amanda. Melissa Shoemake, welcome aboard again. And let's see, that leaves us, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll move to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Moll. And do I have a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Bow. Okay. All those in favor of adjourning the meeting, please raise your hand to say aye. If you
aye.
Want
aye.
To leave.
Aye.
Okay. It's unanimous. Well, thank you for another wonderful evening. And we will talk to you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
All right.
Bye.